Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
First of all, if you have a chest infection and then you have allergies all in the same time, you just want to be put to death. And quitting is not an option. Quitting is never an option for me. Now, death, that's an option. That was an option the last few days.
That bad?
Oh, man. I mean, you talk about just what? Who did I make mad? This started a week ago. We have Brett Hundley on the show today, by the way, which I'm very excited to talk with Brett Hundley, UCLA quarterback, former Chandler High Wolf. He is going to the scouting combine next week. In most people's estimations, Brett Hundley will be the third quarterback off the board following Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. So it'll be great to catch up with Brett. My understanding is he's been training with Colin Kaepernick and Kurt Warner here in the Valley. He's back in Los Angeles today. There's a lot I want to talk to Brett about. It sounds like the numbers, and Eric, you're going to the combine next week, as always, thanks to our friends at Santan Ford. The numbers, he wants to break a 4.5 40 for a quarterback, which would be pretty impressive, I think. So we'll talk with Brett Hundley. That comes up in hour number two. I was really knocked flat, but on, Wednesday night, antibiotics and all, there's not a chance it would have passed the sports360az.com drug test. Not a chance. But I did take my wife, because I'd been invited, and I probably infected the whole theater, to a screening of 50 Shades of Grey, which starts today. Now, there was one caveat about this screening of 50 Shades of Grey. I sat next to Bill Goodykoontz. So Goody at the Movies is going to join us. There's something kind of random about sitting next to a dude when there's bondage going on the screen in front of you. Add to that, the movie was just dreadful. So, and I looked at Bill, and Bill looked at me a couple times. Now, he's doing his job, right? I go to these screenings because part of it's what I want to do here on the show. I want to talk about this stuff. But there was a moment where Bill and I kind of made eye contact, like, man, this is just awful, just hideous. And then he crushed it in his review. So I want to talk to Bill about that. And, other than that, it was just trying to work through this. So I'm 90%. Should I go home? Am I okay today?
Well, I know. You're here, and you've been breathing all over the microphone, so you might as well stay.
You have more fill-in hosts that can wander on in.
I'm sure I can
anybody,
find
you can find anybody?
Yeah,
anybody
no problem.
Through? They
yeah,
did
I can find
them.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get you caught up on things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. And, of course, Valentine's is tomorrow. It's not too late. Okay, guys? Don't screw up. You know, it's pretty easy to go get the wilted flowers, but it's also pretty easy to take her on a drive up to Pine Top and say, hey, let's go up to the Sunrise Ski Resort. Let's get away, and we'll stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. We'll eat some great food. We'll have some fun. We'll pull down on the slots. We'll make it all happen at the Honda Resort and Casino. All right? Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. That's the place for Valentine's tomorrow night. Plenty of great specials going on through the day, through the night. You'll be so foreign, you need a roadmap to get out. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino, which is, again, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. So I've got to eat the movies at about 10:45, and then Brett Hundley in hour number two. I wanted a lot of space today. I didn't want to be guest heavy, because there's some things during the week that caught my eye. But I do want to start with the All-Star Weekend. All-Star Weekend is here. The low-hanging fruit angle story in town, I noticed as I was laying there on my deathbed and having to sit through all the TV guys. Man, I feel sorry for you guys trying to fill time after. It's like, let's do another Larry Fitzgerald, maybe back or not, you think? Now the latest one is Goran Dragic may be traded. So let me just start with this. I don't know. What is the plan of the Suns? Please explain to me what the plan of the Suns is. It was a once proud brand, a brand that was wanting to make it to the postseason to win titles. Not, we're in another year of rebuilding. So trading Goran Dragic Is it a really smart move? I don't know. It means you wasted another year of trying to figure this thing out. It means it's another year that you're not going to make the postseason. But come on, Brad, we're aiming for 2016. Yeah, and you were aiming for 2013 and 2014. And this is the ditch that you get driven into. How many rebuilding jobs do we have to endure here in Arizona? Look, Eric Bledsoe has signed this big contract. Is he turning into a superstar? I don't know. Isaiah Thomas is the son that's at the All-Star game, and he's not even there to play. He's in the skills challenge. And they have all this money tied up in Eric Bledsoe. Is Alex Lynn going to be this center? There's potential. I've heard about potential forever. Potential is what gets coaches fired. It's really, you're going to trade Dragic. It's fine. You're going to do it. Your team. But gosh, I can't sit here and say, wow, you've really improved the team time in and time again. If you feel like that your draft picks that you've been stockpiling are starting to make a run, look, if we're here in 2018 and all of a sudden everything is coming up roses and this is a team that is competing year in and year out for a title, because here's the narrative. I can tell you this right now, the narrative. They don't make the postseason this year. Well, they're going to go explore a big free agent next summer. Well, we'll see if we come up with somebody, but we have a really good nucleus here. We have a backcourt of Isaiah Thomas and Eric Bledsoe. We think it's as good as any backcourt there is. And we've got some good young draft picks. We've got Markieff Morris, who, in my opinion, is completely overrated, is not a superstar player in this league. They don't have a superstar player. They have guys. So if you have the money tied up in Thomas and Bledsoe, let's do the math here. If you do the money in Thomas and just the money that's tied up in Bledsoe and Thomas, are either one of those players going to be a superstar in the NBA? Superstar. The answer is no. Okay, let's go over to your center spot. Alex Len, you're pretty excited about him. He's shown some potential. I kind of like Alex Len. Is he going to be a perennial superstar? The answer is no. That leaves your three and your four. That's it. That leaves your power forward and your small forward. What do they have at power forward and small forward that resemble anything close to being a superstar? And the answer is nothing. They have guys that are nice guys to go get a soundbite from before and after the game. I think Jeff Hornacek's a pretty good coach. I don't know if he's a great coach yet because they haven't made the playoffs. You have to judge your coach's capabilities by what they do in postseason. So, you know, when it goes back to once again, now it's trading Dragic away, at least they're considering it. Fine with that. His contract expires this summer. You have to make a move. It's just anybody in their right mind has to look at what's gone on over there and said, this rebuilding thing has gone on entirely too long. They've had more misses than hits. And there should be some criticism directed at the organization, because what did we say last year? We don't know if they're going to be able to repeat this magical run, which, by the way, was a team that didn't even get to the postseason last year. When I hear about, and actually was there when the Cavaliers were here with LeBron James, and the game wasn't even close to being sold out. You can talk about TV ratings. You can make numbers look any way you want them to look. The facts are, this once proud brand here at the All-Star break talking about dumping a player that, what did I hear? Goran Dragic, one of the best players at his position in the NBA. No, they're once again spinning their wheels. That's how I see this. The Charles Barkley analytics story, I think that, Eric, did you guys get into this yesterday much?
Oh, no. Yeah, we did. Not yesterday, but on
Wednesday.
Wednesday. So we spent quite a bit of time on it that day.
Okay, so to advance the story forward, Charles Barkley rips Daryl Morey. Okay, so you guys talked about that, the GM of the Rockets, all about analytics. It's fine. Today, Charles is sitting on a panel in New York City at the NBA All-Star Technology Summit. Guess what he is the panel speaker on? The evolution of basketball analytics. How ironic is that? How great is that? When he was asked last night, I'll move it a bit forward. Sports Illustrated caught up with Charles last night. And they said, so what is your beef with analytics in Houston? He said, it's a great point. I don't know. And he went right down the list. So Houston went out and got James Harden. Is it because of analytics or because he can play? Houston went out and got Dwight Howard. Is it because of analytics or because they think he can play? Houston made an offer at Chris Bosh. Is it analytics or because they think he can play? And he went right down the list of all the moves the Rockets have made. And he's right. Okay, is there a place for analytics in the game? I guess if you're the only one that's doing it, if half of the teams are doing analytics and half of the teams are not, in my view, then you do have an advantage if you truly believe in your numbers. But look, if everybody's doing analytics, do you really have an advantage? Is your group of guys doing analytics smarter, better than the others? When I see a plus minus statistic now in NBA box scores, I don't know if you've noticed that or not, there's a plus minus now that has shown up. That's all analytics. The days where he had 36 points and 12 boards and 8 assists, those numbers don't fit for some guys now. But there are times where I'll dig deep into a box score. Last night I watched quite a bit of the Cavs and Bulls last night. And LeBron last night was just awful. He did, as they said after the game, he did mail his A game over to New York for the All-Star game. It looked like he didn't really care. He had 8 turnovers last night. It's when the guy goes out and he gets 35 a game. Like, I'll use Carmelo Anthony as an example. I've never been a fan of his game at all in any way, shape, or form. Carmelo could go out and score 35 and be 8 of 30 from the field and hit a whole bunch of free throws. And, you know, 14 of 16 for the free throw line, whatever. The facts are he took 30 shots and made 8 of them. He's just horrendous to watch. And oh, by the way, he's such a great teammate that he's going to play a couple minutes in the All-Star game because it's in New York. And then he's reportedly going to shut it down for the rest of the season. That's just great. That's the message I want from my superstar. I'm going to play in the All-Star game for a couple minutes and then I'm done. I'm checking out. And oh, by the way, you fans have bought your season tickets. I'm done. I'm good enough to play in the All-Star game for a couple of minutes, but we suck. So I'm not going to play beyond that. On the other side, the story of the Oregon Ducks getting their transfer quarterback, but he's still on campus at Eastern Washington, and how the coach at Eastern Washington doesn't want him to play to work out with the team. I'm going to get into that. Gary Patterson weighed in this morning on the playoffs for college football. We do a lot of college football here. John Daly is relevant once again. I'll explain that. ASU and U of A basketball both in action tonight. I've got some thoughts on that front. And as the show moves on, we lost Bob Simon and David Carr, two guys that I was a big fan of, not the quarterback David Carr, two guys in the media world. I'll talk to Goody at the Movies about that. Brett Hundley will join us as well in hour number 2. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So while I've been knocked down, I saw where U of A and ASU, I saw their games, the game last week. And I don't want to go too far back on that. It seems to me that everything about that game has been about the fans in the stands and how crazy they are and how wacky they are behind the backboard when free throws are being shot. It seems to me that there's been such a fuss made about how great it is that the fans are crazy. I don't know. I'm about a basketball program that every year wins 25, not 20. I'm about a team that every year has deep runs in March Madness. Last time I checked, there aren't going to be any games at Wells Fargo Arena for Arizona State after they get through the regular season. They'll go to the Pac-12 tournament, and a few of those fans may show up. If they are fortunate enough to make it into the big dance, which at this point I would say is a 50-50 proposition at best. So if all we're doing here in February is getting excited about fans and stands, we got to go a little deeper than that, guys. I mean, you have to have a basketball program. They have a nice commitment from a very good player who's 2 years away. It was, I thought, significant that they won the game with the best big man that I've ever seen come out of the high school ranks here in Arizona in attendance at the game. That was last week. Just my little thought there as I've sat here through the week and kind of consumed what's gone on around town and conversations and seen boards and all that stuff. I mean, to me, it's like, okay, you go to Pullman tonight, and if you get drilled at Washington State, and that's not an easy place to play. It's not fun to go there. It doesn't matter if they're any good or not. If ASU comes out of this weekend trip to the Washington schools with a split, they're lucky. It's the only way to put it, and that's what they should be aiming for. And that has nothing to do with fans behind the stands and any of that stuff. You know, focus on the court and on the building of the program and if they are headed in the right direction. Otherwise, it's just 21 years of trying to figure out if ASU basketball is ever going to be relevant. It's a very tired argument. And if we're going now into how exciting the student section is, that doesn't do anything. That doesn't solve the issue. Oh, it will make us recruit better players. I don't know that. U of A, on the other hand, I was watching last night. I saw Utah play last, and boy, does Utah look good. Watch Utah because I'm one of the five with the Pac-12 network. Utah played last night and did what they needed to do against Stanford. And they had a stat about U of A as a road team. U of A on the road averages like 8 points less home to road. Okay, that happens. I get that. But their road record is not very good. And last time I checked, once again, when you get into March Madness, you've got to go on the road. Now that we're into the middle of February, I'm ramping up college basketball conversation a little bit more because this is the time of year where these games do matter. Right now, U of A is a 2 seed. Can they stay at a 2 seed if they split this weekend in Washington? Lute Olson was on the show yesterday, and he was, it sounds like, I'll hear it myself, it says here, lost to USA will come back to bite the Wildcats. Here's Lute Olson. This was yesterday.
Well, I think that loss really hurt them. And, of course, the other two losses at UNLV and up at Oregon State, none of those three teams are listed very high in the RPI. And I think the loss that ASU will knock them off, you know, being seeded as the number one, I think Gonzaga will go number one from the West, and it's going to be a much more difficult go than what they had a year ago. So I'm concerned, just as I'm sure a lot of the Wildcat fans are.
They should be. You know, as much talent as they have, and tonight, I'll probably watch tonight. I've got some time tonight. The game is on ESPN. Here's more Lute Olson. U of A will go only as far as T.J. McConnell takes them.
I think T.J. is recognizing at this point that he has to shoot more and score more because we're not a very good outside shooting team. And so I think his performance at ASU was what it's going to take, that kind of effort where he knows, and I saw his comments in the paper afterwards, that he knows he's going to have to shoot more and be more involved offensively.
How was Lute yesterday, E?
He was honest.
Yeah, yeah.
He had some great stuff about Tarkanian and Dean Smith and losing two icons in 5 days.
Right.
But you could tell in those two sound bites, you could just read between the lines that he probably doesn't have the same expectations going into March Madness that last year's team did, especially since he said, Brad, they probably won't be the number one seed out West. It'll probably be Gonzaga. So U of A might start out in the West, but then they'll have to play the Sweet 16 games in the South or the Midwest.
Sure,
or
sure, sure.
Somewhere. And we all know how well U of A plays when they're in the West. I mean, last year they were a couple seconds away from making it all the way to the Final Four.
But, you know, when they brought Stanley Johnson in, this was supposed to be the guy that turned them around. And he has been, I don't know, a thoroughbred, it seems to me, at times where he's just used to doing his own thing. He's grown up in the club circuit where you can get away with stuff. Doesn't matter what club you're with. You always feel like, hey, you got another game over on court 8. It's okay you lost here on court 5. So, you know, he's there for 1 year. He's doing his thing, and he's moving on. Tarzewski has not impressed me much at all.
He's been the biggest mystery. Yeah. I mean, talk about a guy that's completely fallen off the map. He was so ineffective against ASU. I know he had almost double-digit rebounds, but his offensive game, I mean, he's averaging like 6 points a game this year.
Yeah, so for them this weekend, look, if ASU is able to win both games, I'll go back over to the Sun Devils. If they're able to win both games this weekend at Washington State and at Washington, that's a tough, tough trip.
But the teams aren't good. Washington is in last place in the Pac-12, and Washington State's in like third to last. But I understand what you're saying. Going up on the road, and especially playing in Pullman, which is like playing on another planet.
But it was like last year when ASU beat U of A. Did it really springboard them? Did it catapult them to great success? You know, remember they went to the tournament and they weren't any good in Vegas? You know, you have to be realistic about this stuff. And if you're relying on Bo Barnes to really give you the win, and ASU, without Bo Barnes on the floor, they don't win, right? This is a guy they couldn't even guarantee a scholarship to last year. So it tells me that they've missed on a lot of guys. That's not breaking news. And yeah, I'm still not all that. I don't get all excited about one win. I just don't. If you look at the body of work, they're a pretty average team. That's it. Now, prove me wrong and go win on the road. I get notes from people around the team. Oh, I can't believe you're such a pessimist. I can't believe you're so negative. No, it's a fact, guys. You're nothing special. So prove me wrong. Go on a run here. Go up to the Pac-12 tournament and look back and say, you know what? We got it all turned around against U of A. Because the selection committee is going to say, okay, what were the best wins by ASU this year? Then they're going to say, okay, who did they lose to and how did they lose? And they're going to look at the game down in Tucson and say that you got drilled. And you can say, well, that was early in the year. We won up here. It was our most complete game. It was on national television. Yada, 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 yada. It's a big weekend for them. I mean, it really is. This segment of the show brought to you by Mareel Slater Insurance. MareelSlaterInsurance.com. Now, okay, if you guys have been putting it off, you only have until Sunday for your health insurance. You have to have, read my lips here, you have to have health insurance, and you have to do it by Sunday. This is kind of like taxes, okay? April 15th comes, goes. We know what happens if you don't have your taxes done. February 15th comes, goes. You don't have insurance. You're hosed. We're talking about your health insurance here. Very personal situation. So here's what you need to do. Get something to write with or just remember it. You've got about 48 hours left. MSinsuranceLLC.com. MSinsuranceLLC.com. One more time. MSinsuranceLLC.com. Tom Mareel, John Slater, respected businessmen. They've handled my personal insurance. They can handle your insurance needs. Handle us here at sports360az.com as well. MSinsuranceLLC.com. Are you paying too much? Do you not have enough coverage? Blue Cross Blue Shield, Mareel Slater Insurance, MSinsuranceLLC.com. Some college football on the other side. Good Eat the Movies still to come. And Brett Hundley as well. Friday, Sports 360. It's my first
day. It is your Monday.
It's my Monday. It's my Monday and my Friday. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Plenty of content up right now on Sports360AZ.com. College football season never stops. Plenty of content up on sports360az.com on the recruiting roundup, what the colleges are considering, who they're looking at. Connor Murphy over at Brophy got offered by Oregon last night. He is going to be a terrific player, in my opinion. There's a big story on his workout regimen that's up on sports360az.com right now. Speaking of Oregon, okay, so Oregon is coming here the week of Halloween to play ASU. And the quarterback for the Ducks, unless he gets hurt, is going to be a kid by the name of Vernon Adams. We talked about Vernon Adams at great lengths about 2 weeks ago when this story first broke. And to advance the story further, Vernon Adams did sign his paperwork. He is transferring to the University of Oregon. He's going to be the Ducks guy. He is going through his final semester of school, however, at Eastern Washington. He's going to graduate from Eastern Washington. He'll remain on scholarship while he finishes his degree. There's a couple storylines here. The coach of Eastern Washington is Bo Baldwin. Bo Baldwin and Eastern Washington, follow me here, open next season against, you got it, Oregon. So here is Vernon Adams, who is a student on scholarship at Eastern Washington, signs the paperwork to go to Oregon, will go to Oregon when he graduates after May. The coach came out and said, yeah, he's on scholarship here with us, Bo Baldwin. For the next 4 months, he can't prep down there, meaning their field house. He can't prep down there with them, and he certainly can't be in our weight room or throwing with our guys. And I talked to him about that. I said to him, what's your plan for the next 4 months? How are you going to prepare for your senior year? I love you to death, but one, you're moving on, and two, you're moving on to who we're playing in week number one. It's a pretty good story here. In my view, the coach is dead flat right. I don't care if the kid is on scholarship. He's going to try to rip our hearts out, and we have to try to beat him. The coach went further and said, it's not what the rule is intended for. This is the fifth-year transfer deal. It's not what the rule is intended for. And when you're Oregon, and we've gotten a guy that we recruited when no one else was, ultimately we feel like, you know what? We were also the ones who developed him from a level where, obviously, out of high school, he wasn't at that level. This is the coach, Bo Baldwin. I kind of like this coach. Further, when you're Oregon, this is terrific. When you're Oregon, and over the last 3 or 4 years, you're not recruiting a number of guys that can fill in when Marcus Mariota leaves? I'm kind of asking the question, I'm flattered, I guess, but what are they doing over there? Question mark.
Valid point.
Oh, my gosh. Furthering his quote, I don't see Urban Meyer going to Northern Iowa for his next guy. So, and then the same week, same day, actually, Mark Helfrich gets an extension at Oregon. It's a very fair point. In this day and age, recruiting and 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars, you didn't have anybody. You didn't have, if I'm the athletic director, I have to come down the hall and say, who do we have here to replace Marcus?
I'd like to know the backstory, though. I'd like to know how the conversation started between Oregon and Vernon Adams. Did Vernon Adams reach out to Oregon? Did someone put a bug in from Oregon in Vernon Adams' ear, say, hey, you know, the Ducks like you? It would explain a lot more, because if he...
Where's the dad in all this?
Yeah, and I mean, if he had a dream to play at Oregon,
yeah.
I mean, he should go play at Oregon. It's okay.
But he was only recruited by Portland State and Eastern Washington.
I know.
That's the best part of the story.
And he's a really, really good quarterback.
He's a really good quarterback, Eric. And here's the thing. When you're recruited by Eastern Washington and Portland State, and you're told, come here... Let's build a program around you, and you have success, and yeah, you're at Eastern Washington, okay? You still are going to get noticed by the NFL. You're not going to get the white-hot spotlight that you'll get at the University of Oregon.
It doesn't matter, though. In the end, I mean, if you can play, you can play. We've said it all along. If you can play, you can play, and the NFL people will find you.
The coach, although Baldwin is not convinced Adams' transfer was the correct decision and outlined the difficult road the quarterback has to get in getting brought up to speed, he still expects to see Adams win the starting job. I would too.
And it's a risk, because if he goes up to Oregon and he doesn't play well, he might have been better off just staying at Eastern Washington.
In 3 seasons at Eastern Washington, he threw for 10,438 yards. He had 110 touchdowns, 31 interceptions.
That's ridiculous.
Big Sky Player of the Year twice.
That's like a 10-3 touchdown to interception ratio. That's amazing.
But, you know, in terms of the kid not being allowed to use the facilities, I get that. I completely get that. I would be the exact same way.
So he has to stay there until he graduates, right? That's why he's still on.
It's like Connor Brewer.
Okay.
It's like Connor Brewer. Let me give you an example, and I'll bring it closer to home. Okay? Let's say Mike Bercovici is doing his thing in spring football. And let's say that he was, by some weird happenstance, beaten out by White. Just a, you know... Freshman comes in, kills it. He's already enrolled, da-da-da-da-da. Berkovici could do the same thing. He could walk away. Connor Brewer is doing the same thing at Arizona. Connor Brewer can't go. It's been one of the conversations I've had with the dad on this one. So the kid can transfer, but he's going to stay at the U of A, meaning he's going to miss all of spring football. So wherever he goes, unless they just flat tell him, if it's Northern Arizona University that says, you know what, Connor, you can come here and you can be our starting quarterback. Or if it's Texas San Antonio, which ironically opens with U of A next year. So, you know, the Baldwin story in the fifth-year transfer quarterback is becoming more the rule rather than the exception. Yeah, I got stuck playing behind a guy. I want to go elsewhere, and now I've got the opportunity to do it. One other college note before we take a break. I'll get to that in a second. This segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it right. We've been telling you about them for 3 years, 3 years strong now with Santan Ford. Every day I get into my Ford Fusion, make the drive up here to our palatial Scottsdale studios, and I do so in comfort, in style, and luxury through the years in driving Ford vehicles. I'm a big Ford guy. My wife and I recently purchased a certified pre-owned Explorer, which makes a lot of sense for her in getting around. How about you guys? How about in your vehicle? Hey, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. You want to be, again, so far in, you need a roadmap to get out? Maybe it's time just to swing by and get that new vehicle that you've been checking out. Maybe you got that tax return coming in. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you, they can help you out. Tim is involved. There are a lot of charitable organizations, a lot of the sports franchises, the Cardinals, the Diamondbacks. What does that have to do with buying a car or a truck? Has everything to do with it. This isn't just some guy who just kind of wanders in and says, I am. I'm Tim. I'm going to sell some cars. That's not what it's about at Santan Ford. It's a great experience. Stop by. Check it out for yourself. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, it's all about you. University of Arizona football is in my radar, too. The Pac-12 has come out with their master schedule for the coming football season. I was texting an assistant coach there when I heard this bit of news and said, is this true? Yes, it's true. U of A, and for ASU fans, you've got to love this. U of A will not have a bye this coming football season. They will not have a bye. They've got to play straight through, start to finish. And in my view, that is a complete game changer for any team to have huge success. Eric, if you're looking at U of A and you don't have a bye, is it, or any college football program, if you go 11, 12 straight weeks without a week off, I think you're already playing way behind the eight ball before you've even played one game.
You are, because the one thing that's guaranteed during a college football season is injuries. And the only time that you can really recover if you're a student athlete mentally and physically is during those bye weeks. Some teams get lucky and they play like on a Thursday, and then they don't have to play for like
10 days.
Yeah, 10 days-ish.
Or if they have a week off after that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like 2 weeks.
Yeah. But not having a bye is ludicrous. I mean, that's just why would the Pac-12
do that? Why would the Pac-12 do that? That is a very fair question to ask. What would make a conference say, this is the way the schedule laid out? Is it because their preseason schedule, this is my only theory, and nobody's told me this at U of A, but this is my only theory. Their preseason schedule is not very attractive. I mean, they have UT San Antonio, which is okay. That game's at home. Their other games are not attractive at all. So is it the conference saying, look, you guys aren't playing anybody. Those essentially are bye weeks anyways. Strengthen your schedule. This is our way of punishing you. You know, Arizona State, on the other hand, is opening with Texas A&M on the road. Now, they call it a neutral site game, being in Houston, but that's a home game for Texas A&M. Let's not kid each other.
Came out yesterday. Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
What do you think it is? We like to play this game. A&M
by...
Nobody really talks about gambling. Wink,
yeah,
wink.
Sure. A&M by 7.
Nope.
10?
Lower.
4?
Lower.
It's not Pick'em, is it?
It's A&M minus 1, so it's pretty close to a Pick'em. The Aggies are 1-point favorites.
Not that you notice this stuff or not.
I just saw it on Twitter.
First game is,
like,
it's got to be true. It's got to be true.
Just like the rest of the world, I saw it on Twitter.
That's it. Goody at the Movies is next. Sitting next to Bill during 50 Shades of Grey. I didn't put my hand on his thigh. I didn't even consider putting my hand on his thigh. I don't know if he was thinking the same thing I was thinking. I'm like, it's kind of awkward that She's got whips and chains, and I'm sitting next to Bill. I don't know. That's next. And then Brad Hundley, as we continue on a Friday. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now it is time for Goodie at the Movies. It is Friday. Chief film critic for Gannett AZ Central, media critic as well. There's a lot to get to with Bill. It's been an interesting week. It's really interesting. Did you think the same thing that I was at some point as we were sitting next to one another in 50 Shades of Grey, that I was going to put my hand on your thigh, or that it was rather random that you and I were sitting like man to man watching what I thought was just a dreadful movie? Did you feel the same vibe that I was giving to you?
That you wanted to put your hand on my leg?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm not good at flirting. I don't know. I missed out on the cues. Usually when I watch a movie, I try to pay, you know, since I got to review the thing, I try to pay attention to it. But I could see how you would be gleefully distracted by almost anything in that movie. It's just, the thing about it, you know, I had this idea of, like, they're going to, all these groups, and you probably get these emails, they're going to protest this thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think they're going to go, and they're going to think, what? It's like, this isn't dirty, it's boring.
Yeah, this was, so let's get into this. It was a movie that has had a whole lot of buildup, a whole lot of hype. It's like cheap porn for Valentine's Day. And it's, I don't know, it was kind of like the Twilight trilogy wrapped into Sex and the City trilogy. Like, just get me out of here. She was okay. I think we both agreed on that. He was just awful. So what's your general review of this?
I thought that she was actually pretty good. I think if you went there for your Valentine's Day porn or whatever it is that you're going for, you would be disappointed, because it really wasn't that dirty. And the thing that also, and as we discussed, I don't know all there is to know about bondage and, you know, dominance and stuff like that, but I do know from just reading and seeing other movies that if you're the dominant person, you don't put up with it. You do what you want to do, you know? And they just didn't seem committed to that. She was like, well, I want to do this. He's like, all right.
Do you think
I want to go home. Sure, yeah, all right, I'll give you a ride.
I'll put you in my helicopter. Do you think the studio said we have to find a way to get around this, and so they softened that part?
No, I think that was in the book. I think that it was in the book. I have, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your point of view, I have not read the book.
Yeah.
I just think it was bad. I mean, you mentioned Twilight. It's funny. You know, this started out as Twilight fan fiction. And this is how the movie began, or the book began. So, I mean, could you imagine, why can't we do that? I mean, imagine writing a fan fiction about Tom Brady, and it sells 40 million copies.
I get it. Okay, so we're both in agreement, this movie not worth the time, right?
No, but everybody's going to see it anyway.
Kingsman, you told me, is terrific.
I really like it. It's but the thing is, you think Michael Caine, you think Colin Firth and a spy like a James Bond thing, you think, oh, well, that'll be sophisticated and all that. Not at all. It's not. What it really is if you saw the movie Kick-Ass, which I really liked, it's really violent. It's like super violent and kind of you know, not a bad language, a lot of running around, people cutting them up. Somebody gets sliced in half in the first 5 minutes of the movie. So it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. But it's worth seeing.
Absolutely. I love that stuff.
All right.
I really like Kick-Ass. I talked to the director, Matthew Vaughn, and it brought up a memory for me, which was when the first Kick-Ass came out, my mom, who is now 86, she was visiting Phoenix from Virginia, and I said, well, I got to go to a movie today. Do you want to go? And she's like, sure. So we go to see Kick-Ass.
And that's great.
It's like unbelievably violent and profane and all this stuff. And we're sitting there, and I'm just like trying to crawl under the seat. Of course, we're the only two people in the theater. And afterwards, she said, that was great. I was like, really? And she, yeah. And then later, 6 months later, she called me back. She said, you know, that's the best movie I've seen this year.
Wow.
And I told Matthew Vaughn that, and he's like, ooh, he said, I thought you were going in another direction there. He said, that's good to hear.
Goody at the movies. Okay, let's get into the stuff that I think both of us this week. I read David Carr not religiously like you did. I saw a little bit of what you put on social media. I actually got teared up about Bob Simon because he's one of those guys that could just, he's what is missing so much in our world today. David Carr, New York Times, passing away, Bob Simon this week, couple big ones.
Yeah, and I'm David Carr, to me, was more, I didn't know either one of them, but more personally to me, David Carr seemed, he was more like the guy that I admired, the guy that I wanted to be. I'm never going to be Bob Simon. I'm never going to go get to be a foreign correspondent and get kidnapped by Iraqis and beaten for 30 days and have people spit inside my mouth and then, you know, finally be freed and have the first thing you do be to turn the story around. You know, that I wish it was me. That ain't me.
Yeah.
But David Carr, I think the thing that was so great about David Carr, there are a lot of writers like this that the thing is that he made it sound, if you read him, it sounded like it was easy. But if you've ever tried to write that way, it's really hard. And I mean, there's not a wasted word. It's very insightful. He's very clear. You know exactly what he's thinking. He gets right to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you combine that, I feel like one of the reasons that he was that way was, you know, if you know his backstory, he was a horrible drug addict. And he, he left his twin baby daughters in his car to go into a drug house to get drugs. And that was sort of when he realized, you know, maybe I need some help here. And he got it, and he got better. And he, you know, I think that informed me. I mean, it always does. I mean, you were an outstanding athlete, and I think that informs what you do. You have, you know, you have some idea of what these guys do. You suffered a major injury. That gives you some insight into what people are going through when you're talking to them.
Right.
And I think that with Carr, you know, I feel like there was some element of like, you know what, it can only get better. I'm going to do what I want.
No, in his writing, like I said, I didn't read him religiously, but in the last couple of years, he was one of those that, oh yeah, I have to remember to read that. On a coaching note, I've got about a minute and a half in the segment, but Tarkanian passing away hit me a little bit in the way that when I was 23, I did the play-by-play for San Diego State basketball.
Uh-huh.
And so they were awful. They were like 2-28, 2-30, and we'd play UNLV. And Tark lived in Long Beach, and I used to host a show called Hoop Talk, and Tark was a frequent guest on it. And it was on weekends. We just talked basketball. He let me sit in on practices when we'd go up to Vegas, and it would be a 40-point blowout. And they had Stacey Ogman, Larry Johnson, Anderson Hunt. It's when college basketball was really relevant, Bill. I don't feel like college basketball is nearly the game that it was back then. This isn't old man get off my lawn, but Tark was one of those that hit me. Dean Smith was great in his own story, the Charlie Scott side of it. Didn't hit me as hard as Tark did.
I'm the opposite. Dean Smith. You know,
you were back there, yeah, sure.
I grew up there. One time I was in the newsroom. I was a night cop reporter at the Winston-Salem Journal. And we had, this was a time when there was just like a sort of a communal phone. You called one number in the newsroom. And whoever answered it, you know, and then you call, you yell it over to whoever. The phone rings and rings, and the clerk doesn't answer it. So I answer it, and he's like, Winston-Salem Journal. The guy says, can I speak to Frank Tersey? And I said, sure. Or I said, no, it looks like he's not at his desk. And he just said, well, I'll tell him Coach Smith called. And I was just like, you know, I was like, okay. And I hung up, and I was like, that was me, Coach Smith. I should have said something. I should have said hi. If you live back there, I think one of the things about him, you know, like, there, I thought of a lot of funny stories, like Terry Holland, who was the coach of Virginia and is now the athletic director during the Ralph Sampson years. He named his dog Dean Smith. There was stuff like that. But Dean Smith was a huge figure, and not just because of he was a basketball coach. He sat in on lunch counters to help, you know, with black people to try to help desegregate the South. I mean, it wasn't just Charlie Scott. It wasn't just a sports thing. He was doing it in the community as well. And that, I mean, you know, although I'll tell you a quick story about Jerry Tarkanian. I was in San Diego one time for like a political convention or something, and we were all the reporters were eating, and here comes Tarkanian and this guy to sit down at their own table to have dinner. And I don't know about Tarkanian's personal life. I don't know anything about him. But if the guy that with him was not a mobster, then I've never seen a mobster. I mean, this maybe he was an actor, and he was like, you know, he was, you know, like preparing for a role or something. But it was like, and it worked because people would kind of give a nervous wave to D'Artagnan, but they left him alone.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
Maybe that was it. Maybe it's just his bodyguard. I don't know. But it was a little scary.
Have a good weekend. Thanks.
You too.
It's Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies. Chief film critic for Gannett AZ Central. On the other side, Brett Hundley will be with us. Former Chandler High Wolf, UCLA Bruin, going to the NFL scouting combine next week. He turns the page to the NFL. We'll talk with Brett Hundley. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Now, the Brad Sussmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Off we go into hour number two next week at the Scouting Combine. The show will be there. Eric will be on location in Indianapolis. I'll be here. Our coverage brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Speaking of the Combine, Brett Hundley joins us now for a couple of minutes, former Chandler High star, UCLA quarterback. It's funny. It's like the resume keeps growing as I've interviewed this kid through the years. And now this man, not kid, is going on to the NFL Scouting Combine. Are you... first of all, thanks for coming on board. How are you?
I'm good, man. I appreciate you for having me again.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. Over and over, Brett. That's how this thing works. Till death do us. How about till death do us part? How's that work?
That's what I'm talking about right there.
There you go.
From high school and on, man.
Are you nervous for the combine?
No, not at all, actually. I think the one thing that I've taken from this whole process is just have fun and relax. I've done the work. I've done everything I need to do, and now I got to let it loose. So when I get to the combine, I'm going to go take a deep breath, just have some fun, and throw the ball around.
Brett Hundley with us live for a couple of minutes, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, the UCLA quarterback, former Chandler High star at the combine next week. You were just in town working out with Colin Kaepernick and Kurt Warner. How did that go for you, Brett?
That went really well, really well. Kurt Warner is just so knowledgeable in this game and understanding defenses, offenses, everything. And Colin Kaepernick, being able to be with those guys for 2 weeks helped me out so much. And being able now to stay in contact with these guys and ask them questions if I have anything or just for them to be there for me, it's huge. Just being able to work out with them and just get teaching from them, it helped tremendously with my game.
Was it just you and Kaepernick and Kurt? Were there other quarterbacks? How did that work?
No, it was a private. It was just me, Cap, Colin Kaepernick, and then Kurt Warner was out there teaching us.
And what would a guy like Warner teach you on the field? Because I can get it off the field. What is it? Was he just trying to clean mechanics up with you?
Yeah, that's the big thing. It's cleaning up small things as far as your weight balance, your transfer of weight, bent front knee, and just keeping everything like you need to. You know, a lot of athletic quarterbacks, you know, can overcompensate with things because of our athleticism. But if you, you know, get on the same phase with what they're supposed to be doing, you know, then you can really start delivering the ball a whole lot better.
You know, Brett, it's through the years, as I've seen you mature, and we've had this discussion on the air and even off the air, there's been the notion of you take too many hits. Okay. And that's a perception that's out there. Did you talk to Kaepernick about that aspect of it?
Yeah. I talked to him about that because, you know, obviously he was taking a lot of hits in college and stuff like that too. And, you know, I think that's a trend that a lot of people will see in these offenses because, you know, when we carry the ball, if we get tackled in the backfield, that counts as a sack.
Sure.
Instead of running and getting tackled. But, you know, it's those hits that you take, and it's things like that that count as sacks when they may not be, you know, in the pocket just taking an actual sack. But it's stuff like that that accumulates, and that the hits are wear and tear, and that you really have to learn how to get the ball out of your hands or just dish it down to a running back and let him do his job.
Brett Hundley with Brad Sussmat. Okay, let's run through the punch list here. So you go to the combine. What are you hoping for a 40 time?
I am hoping for anywhere in the 4.5s. Low, mid 4.5s is what I'm hoping for right now.
4.5. You think you've got it, huh?
Oh, yeah. I know I got it. I just got to make sure I'm healthy and ready to go, and I'll be able to get that.
Okay. Then the other test that you have the shuttle test. You have all sorts of tests. Is there one certain test that they're going to run at you that you're like, I've got this one even more than the 40? Vertical, what is it?
I think the broad jump is my game. I think that one, I'll have that in the bag. I'm very confident in the broad.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then you're from the combine, you'll throw at the combine, right?
Yeah, I'll be there throwing it, having fun, slinging it around, competing.
Okay, and you're 100% healthy going into the combine?
Yeah, 100% healthy. I got my body back. I'm good to go, and it's off and rolling now.
Have you done anything physically since the season ended in the way of adding weight in just the last couple of months?
No, you know, I think during the season I got up to about 228, and I wanted to drop weight for the 40, so I dropped down to about 224, 223, maybe 228 while I'm running. But my weight has been pretty good at where I want it.
Your pro day will be March 10th at UCLA, right?
Yep.
And at that day, will it just be you? Will it be other Bruins? What will that day be like? Do you know yet?
No. I'm going to go and I'm going to do my pro day with everybody. I'm going to be there with Derek Kendricks, Owa, Anthony Jefferson, and Jordan James. We're all going to be out there. And, you know, I'll have some receivers out there throwing. But it's going to be a big pro day. A lot of people going to be there. And a lot of us UCLA players are going to be, trying to impress.
Couple other questions, I'll let you go. So the view of this draft right now is there's Mariota, there's Winston, and then there's Hundley. Do you agree with that assessment of this year's draft?
Not at all. You know, I respect both quarterbacks so much, and I have, you know, I've been able to talk to them, introduce myself, and create a relationship with them. But I know my talents, and I'm very confident in them. And, you know, when people will say Mariota, Jameis, and then – I'm a competitor, and that's what I do. So I put my skills up with anybody. And, to say there's only two and then everybody else is a drop-off, you know, it sits in the back of my mind, and, you know, I'll just keep working.
Picking an agent. I can get into this with you further because I know it's pretty complicated, but just in like a minute and a half, what did you do? What was the process like? Who did you go with?
Oh, I went with Priority Sports. Great people, Kenny Zuckerman. And, you know, you really just have to pick somebody who you trust. There's, you know, like I said, picking an agent is, I guess, a little bit more complicated than it sounds, but you really have to sit down. You have to know, you know, who has your best interest, what they can do, and how they can help you, maneuver through this process.
Draft day, you're going to be here or in Chicago? Have you decided that yet?
I think I'm going to be in either Arizona or California, and I'm going to do something, you know, I have a big family gathering for that day.
All right. Well, wherever that is, I'm going to crash it.
Oh, yeah. You already know. You're always invited, man.
Just,
come on. Your
just
family
so you
does.
Know, just so you know, I'm going to crash your party. So it's fine.
Hey, man, we'll all have some fun.
You tell me, chips and salsa, I'm there. I got a party hat on, lampshade.
We'll have it all, man. I know my dad will be cooking, so it'll be fun.
Anything else about this whole process before I let you go? Because the next big step is next week in Indianapolis. Anything else in the last couple of months that's been life-changing for you?
I think really just understanding your circle is the big thing in this whole process. You know, time is of the essence, but, you know, you start hearing a lot of negativity throughout this process. You know, the one thing Coach Moore said to me, and not even Coach Moore, but others, was that you won't hear nothing positive about yourself throughout this whole process. So you really have to be strong, and you have to have a strong supporting cast behind you. People who have faith, and no matter what is said, will continue to have faith and push you to be the best that you could be. And I think that's, throughout this whole process, is the biggest thing I learned is, you know, the people in your circle are really important. And the ones who can push you throughout all of this are the ones that you really need to keep around you.
Yeah, and facts are, Brett, that's been the case for you since high school.
That's what I'm saying. So this is the day one thing.
No, that's right. That's right. Be well. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me on, man.
It's Brett Hundley for a couple of minutes. UCLA Bruin, former Chandler High star quarterback. Again, we'll be at the Combine next week. Santan Ford, as always, partners with us, and our coverage at the Combine all around all the players around the NFL Combine, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Eric will be back there shooting video, getting guests, social media, putting up content on our site. This is our third year being at the NFL Combine. This is what we do. We travel. We don't just sit around behind a microphone and it's one thing to have Brett on the show, but it's also another for you to hear from him in person, see him, and we've been following his career, and it's terrific. You know, I think he's going to be a late first-round pick, in my opinion, today. That could change. Look, if you look at quarterbacks, Jake Locker and Christian Ponder, and look at all these guys that were just guys that were taken in the middle of the first round. If you need a quarterback, and it's important, important for him to hit the numbers, for him to think he can run a 4.5, he's dropped weight, and to do well in the vertical. Those are the measurables. As a kid, there's not going to be any baggage on this kid. I've known him for a long time. And I'm so happy that a quarterback from Arizona is going to that next level. I really am.
It's a total fine line, though, with quarterbacks in the first round.
Sure it is.
It's a total boom or bust, usually, type situation. I mean, these guys either turn out to be A-plus home runs, or they turn out to be Christian Ponder and Jake Locker. It's the, well, the risky fact, run with all positions,
yeah.
But nothing sets a franchise back worse than missing on a quarterback early in the draft.
You know, Eric, I'll say this on Brett's part. For Kaepernick and Brett to work together here with Warner, that's not going to be the only time they do that. And that tells me an awful lot about Brett wanting to go down that path with a quarterback who runs too much. Colin Kaepernick runs too much. And so if you've got to be committed to your game, and that's been the knock on Brett, and he was very straightforward about it, and he's right. Everybody's going to tear you apart. That's just how it is right now. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. This segment of the show brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. When we say just plain easy, Gateway Airport's been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one, and they've had tremendous success in growing. We've grown with them, and I fly out of Gateway. You can get to nearly 40 different locations out of Gateway Airport in Southeast Mesa, just off the Santan 202 and the 60. Allegiant Air can get you guys into Vegas for $50 right now. $50! We're going to go up to March Madness. And, of course, the MGM Grand for Pac-12 tournament. You can get into the Bay Area cheaply on Allegiant Air, flying out of Gateway Airport. I've flown into Eugene, Oregon to cover stories at the Ducks, into Rockford to cover Chicago, stories in Chicago around teams in the Valley, up through Seattle as well, through Bellingham, Washington. That's all through Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. 3 years with us, Gateway Airport. Thanks for their support. Busy Friday show rolls on. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.